What a great song. Wow. Hallelujah for the cross. My understanding of prayer is that prayer is basically talking to God and listening to Him. And if that's the case, almost everything we do can be prayer. So again, just a reminder what Eric mentioned. If you have a prayer need today, take the time to write it out on this card. And I just want to encourage you that when it comes time in the service to come up, and there'll be a number of people in various spots up here all around the room, pick one you're comfortable with and go and ask them to pray for you. Now here's the deal. Satan is going to be doing everything he can to stop you. Oh, don't do that. Don't do that. What are people going to think? Well, they're going to think you need prayer. Well, join the club. We all need prayer. That's nothing new. And I just want to encourage you to take advantage of that. What a great way to start the year. Anyway, we're going to talk a little bit about prayer, and I want to take you to Exodus chapter 17. There's lots of different passages about prayer in the Bible. I like this one for a variety of reasons. What I'd like to do is I'd just like to give you a little bit of background, and then I would like to read it and then make a couple of comments about it before we move into communion and we move into a prayer time. Now, the people of Israel have just left Egypt. They have gone through the Red Sea. It's somewhere between the Red Sea and Mount Sinai, which was a period of time of about 3 months, about 90 days. They're already starting to receive manna. God is helping them. They're already getting their first grumbling about going back to Egypt. And then they run into the Amalekites. And it says, then Amalek came and fought with Israel at Rephidim. A little bit about the Amalekites. They were a nomadic people that lived in the Sinai Peninsula. They were actually descended from Esau, Jacob's brother. His grandson was named Amalek, and that was sort of the leader of this group of people. And they have a history, and I'm just going to say it the way it is, they have a history of hating the Jews. And this continued long after this battle. In fact, if you read the book of Esther, which I know many of you have done, there's a man in Esther named Haman who wants to destroy all the Jews in the Assyrian Empire, and he is a descendant of Amalek, of the Amalekites. And so this whole idea, this whole concept of we want to destroy the Jews, which sometimes we hear about even today, is not new. It's been going on for thousands of years. Anyway, let me read. Amalek came and fought with Israel at Rephidim. So Moses said to Joshua, choose for us men to go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the staff of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses told him and fought with Amalek, while Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up on the top of the hill. Whenever Moses held up his hand, Israel prevailed. But whenever he lowered his hand, Amalek prevailed. Moses' hands grew weary. So they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it, while Aaron and Hur held up his hands, one on one side and one on the other side. So his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. Joshua overwhelmed Amalek and his people with the sword. This is a serious problem. Got a group of people that want to fight you and want to destroy you. And you know, we all deal with problems in our lives, and some are less serious, some are more serious. Sometimes the seriousness of the problem depends on our perspective. And it's a mistake, I believe, for us to look at someone else and what they're going through and make a judgment about how serious that is. Because in their life, it's real. And there's a message here. Basically, Moses sees what's coming. He says, okay, we got two things we need to do. Joshua, I'm sending you with a bunch of men, soldiers. You're going to go down into that valley, and you're going to fight the fight. In other words, you're going to put action at it. I'm going to be up on the mountain, and I'm going to be holding my hands up, which I believe was a symbol of prayer, reaching out to God. And we're going to do both things at the same time. And I think there's a couple of principles here that would be good for us to talk about today. First one I think will make sense because of the culture that we live in. The second one, maybe not so much. And the first one is simply this, is that you can see it up on the screen. Prayer without action is pointless. Moses did not tell Joshua, hey, we got all the Amalekites there. They're coming our way. Let's get a prayer meeting going, okay? And we'll get into circles, and we'll get eight people in a circle, and we'll pray, and I'll provide some prayer prompts, and maybe hailstones will fall down or something. Maybe God's going to step in. No, Moses said to Joshua, take men and go and engage in this battle. And it's important for us to understand that there is a place for us to take action. And given where we live in the Midwest, we're kind of a let's-get-her-done culture anyway. And usually if something needs to be done, we'll take care of it and we'll do it right away. Although occasionally we will have people who, for one reason or another, say, I don't want to take any steps. Hey, I'll give you a real good example from our school. We had a student who just could not make it to class on time, all right? And since I'm director of education, it's my job to talk with her. I hate those conversations, okay? And so we sat down and said, hey, what's going on? You know, you're always coming 20, 25 minutes late. You're missing the first part of the class. I've been praying about this for a long time, and God just hasn't answered my prayer yet to get me out of bed. And I said, well, I think God's about to answer your prayer. Do you have an alarm clock? The response was, yeah, but I just turn it off and I go back to sleep. I said, where is your alarm clock? Well, it's next to my bed. Put it in the bathroom. In other words, force yourself. There is a place for taking steps. And it's important for us to understand that. And maybe one of the things to be praying about as I'm dealing with issues in my life is, God, is there something I'm missing here? Is there something that I should be doing? You know, Timberwood Church is in a transition right now. And I'm very thankful that Sharon and I get to be part of this transition. But the transition is going to involve some work. It's going to involve some conversations. It's going to involve working on things, maybe taking a look at the organization of the church and saying, are we doing this the best way we can do this for the sake of this church and this body? Are we using staff the best way we could? Are we using financial resources the best way we could? What are the things we need to work on? And please underline that word work, because there will be work. It's going to happen. And for the people who are on the leadership team here, on the staff here, other people in the leadership, yeah, there's going to be conversations and things that are going to be happening. I think those are going to be great conversations. I think it's going to be a wonderful thing. And it's a chance to really bring Timberwood Church to where God wants it to be now. But simply saying, well, let's just pray about it and God will take care of it. Nah, we're being called to move into the battle. I don't view it as being adversarial. It's simply, this is work that needs to be done. And praise God for that we get to do this work. So there's going to have to be action. And as you pray today, as you come forward and receive prayer today, it may be that God will be speaking to you saying, there's something I want you to do now. I would just encourage you to do it. Just do it. Well, that's the first thing. Prayer without action is pointless. But there's a second thing. Remember, Moses was up on that hill. And while Joshua is down in the valley fighting, Moses is up on the hill holding his hands up in the air. I thought about asking everybody to hold their hands up in the air while I preach the entire time, but I thought that would just make people mad at me, so I'm not going to do that. I do know this. If you do this for any amount of time, you know what? Your arms get heavy. And so Moses is up, and he's up on the hill, and he's got his arms up in the air, and he's praying. And while he's doing that, down in the valley, they're having success. They're seeing victory, but his arms start to get tired. And what do? They start to drop a little bit and drop a little bit more. And what happens? The army starts to lose. And he's got to get them back up there again and keep on praying and keep on going to the Lord on behalf of these people that are doing the work. And I can well imagine what it was like if you were like a 19-year-old or 20-year-old soldier and you're down in that valley in the middle of a battle and you're looking up at the old guy on the hill and you're going, oh, I hope he keeps his arms up. Otherwise, we got problems. You know, the bottom line is that action without prayer is powerless. We don't tap into God's power. And that seems to be more of an issue. At least it's more of an issue for me. And I think it's because I grew up in the Midwest where you just kind of get trained and told that, you know, if you got a problem, you work at it and you work at it and you work at it and you fix it. Get her done. And there is a place for plugging in the power cord. and spending that time in prayer. Have you ever noticed that when you got a problem, you work and work and work and work? A simple one that's I lose my keys a lot. You look and look and look and look and look and look and look. And finally, when you've run out of places to look, then you pray. And I go, well, why do we waste all this time? Why don't we just pray first and see what happens? And so, as we're going through these things in our lives, to be praying about it is, in essence, to be Moses up on the mountain and tapping into the power of God. Now, what was interesting is that Moses' arms got tired. And so what did they do? He didn't say, hey, I'm tired, I need a break, or I think I prayed enough. His brother and his friend came alongside him. They sat him on a rock, and they held his arms up in the air for him. There's a place for corporate prayer. There's a place for going to others and saying, hey, would you pray for me? I'm having a hard time. Would you pray for me today? Would you just do that? I actually had a phone conversation with a friend yesterday who had called me earlier in the week. I didn't see the call when it came in, and I called him back. At the time, I wasn't feeling well, so I just left a message. And he heard my message, and he said, you sounded so bad, I wasn't going to call you back. But he was basically calling to ask somebody to pray with him because he was going through some difficult stuff that day. And my fear is sometimes we hang on to the first one so tight and we don't lean into the whole idea of tapping into power, because tapping into God's power and praying really requires humility, requires admitting, you know, I can't do this. I need help. And then God helps. And so as Timberwood goes through this transition time, there will be people working and people developing things and evaluating things and all that kind of stuff, and that's all really good stuff. But man, I'm telling you right now, they're going to need prayer. We're going to need the power of God to help us in this process to let Timberwood Church become everything that God wants it to be. Because I'm telling you right now, just in the month that I've been here, God is not done with you guys. He is not. And God has put this church here to bless this entire area and places around the world. And now it's time to follow his lead, and that'll mean praying. So I'm gonna make some specific requests right now about prayer, if you don't mind. If you're in a small group, and I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. We don't need to do that. If you're in a small group, would you make a commitment every time your small group gets together to pray for Timberwood Church? To pray for wisdom for the leaders, to pray for God to work, to pray for power, to ask God to be working in the body, in the life of this church, to make a difference. Just simply ask God to do that. If you need a verse for it, Colossians chapter 1, I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, pray that we would be filled with all spiritual wisdom, with knowledge and understanding. Just pray that that would happen if you're in a small group, okay? Or any kind of Bible study. If you're already in a prayer meeting of some time, I'm sure you're praying for Timberwood already. Keep it up and don't quit. Keep those arms up in the air. Remind each other to pray for Timberwood. If you're not in a small group, I would encourage you to get in a small group, but I can't control that. But I would ask you to do this. Find a friend or two. And regularly, and by regularly I mean ideally once a week if you can, just get together and just pray for Timberwood. Pray for the leaders, pray for the staff, pray for the people who direct various ministries, pray for the kids' ministry and the youth ministry and the Bible studies and the worship service. Just pray for them. Be Moses on the mountain as people are doing that ministry. And I just want to ask you to do that and then watch God get the glory. Satan tries to keep us from praying. I'm an old guy. We like to tell stories. I'm going to tell you a story. Back in the day when I was doing student ministry in Denver, Colorado, we took a bunch of high school students. We had a huge youth group. It was like 400 kids. And we took them up to the mountains for some kind of thing in the mountains. I don't remember what we did. But we had this vehicle for our church called the Busette, which was like this little bus that would seat about 40 people in it. And on the way back, we were up on Kenosha Pass. Those of you who are familiar with Colorado, you know where that is. On Kenosha Pass, and it broke down, okay? So we're up on Kenosha Pass. We're up at about, 10,500 feet, something like that. And, of course, as soon as a vehicle breaks down when you're with a youth group, everybody becomes a mechanic and everybody knows what to do. In actuality, nobody knew what to do. And here we are. And this is pre-cell phone. So, like, we got no cell phones. We got no way. Everybody else had gone. I'm just stuck on this mountain with a bunch of high school students and one of our other leaders. And we're trying to figure out what to do and how to get help. And it's late in the afternoon, so it's starting to get dark. And, I'm thinking, dear God, help us. I mean, I'm praying silently. And God, it's like God told me. He said, I want you to pray out loud in front of these kids. I so did not want to do that. And the reason I didn't want to do it is, what if God doesn't answer the prayer? I'm going to look stupid. I don't look stupid. You know? So I mentioned one of our guys. I said, I think God wants us to pray. And Johnny said, oh, okay, yeah, I've been praying. And I said, no, I think he wants us to pray out loud. Johnny says, I'm not going to do that. And so I'm saying, God, is this really you or is this just me? I don't really know. So I told Johnny, who was driving the bus, I said, drive it one more time. Try one more time, see if you can get it started. So he turns the key in the ignition, and the bus literally hadn't done this up to this point. It went, vroom, and it ran for about 3 seconds and then just stopped. And then nothing had happened anymore. I thought, okay, that's a sign. I guess I got to do this. So I stood up, kind of cleared my throat, stood in front of all these high school students, half of whom were guests, visitors that their friends had invited. And I said, we're going to pray about getting our bus started. And the kids who were visitors were looking at me going, what? And the kids who invited their friends were going, oh, no. So I just prayed. I asked God to start the bus. And the bus started. And we drove all the way back to the church. And when we got to the church parking lot, it died. And we got the bus hauled into a shop, and I told the guy in the shop the story, and his response was, there's no way in the world this bus could have driven down from the mountains. That's not possible. And, well, that's where we have a God who does the not possible. And I'm only sharing this because there's going to be a tendency when it comes time to pray about something that we're going to pull what I pull. Oh, I don't want to do that. What if God doesn't answer the prayer? What if I look stupid? All those kinds of things. And I maintain sometimes that is the step of faith, simply to step out and allow somebody else to go to the Father for me and pray for me and then watch what happens. And that's what we get to do this morning. You know, sometimes we tell stories and we kind of live vicariously through these other stories. This morning, we get to write our own stories. And that's a marvelous, marvelous thing. And so here's what we're going to do. I just want to fill everybody in so we understand. We will be partaking in communion this morning. Communion is where we have a chance to do what Jesus asked us to do, to take bread, which represents his body broken for us on the cross, and to take a cup, which represents his blood sacrificed for us. And by the way, the bread is gluten-free and the cup is grape juice, so that you know. And to eat the bread and drink the cup to remember what Jesus did for us. His body represents the great love of God that he was willing to send his son to go through that kind of experience for the sake of our salvation. His blood represents the holiness of God, which required a blood sacrifice for our sins to be forgiven. And we do that. And we're going to just give people the opportunity as the worship team is playing or the band is playing to simply come up to the front when you are ready. And there'll be somebody there with bread and with the cup, and there's one of two ways you can do this. You can either come up and simply hold out your hands, and holding out your hands, they will take the bread, they will dip it in the cup for you, and then hand it to you, and you can eat it, and I would suggest you eat it right away. Or if you prefer to pick it up yourself, you can do that yourself. You can pick it up yourself, you can dip it in the cup, and then you can take it. And again, we're remembering. Now, after we do that, there will be opportunities all the way around the room of different prayer teams, people who would love to pray for you, and that's where these cards are so important. Because if you write down what your prayer request on that card is ahead of time, it allows us to pray for you almost immediately. And if you want to have more conversation after the service, you can certainly do that. That's fine. But just to have the opportunity. But I encourage you, after you come up and partake in communion, find one of those teams and just say, hey, would you pray for this for me? And they will be glad to do so. And the whole time, band's going to be leading us in worship, which will be just really, really great. We get a chance to worship God. I really expect, and I've said this for years, and I believe this with my whole heart, that every time we pray, the universe changes. And I'd love to see the people of Timberwood today change the universe because of the prayer that's happening in this room. I'm excited about this. The Bible says very clearly that we should take some time to examine ourselves before we partake in communion. So before we do that, let's just take a little bit of time, and maybe while we're reflecting and praying, the worship team could come up and just get ready to play. I encourage people to ask three questions. Number one, have I chosen to put my trust in Jesus for my salvation? Am I trusting myself and my own good works, or am I trusting Jesus? If you've never put your trust in Jesus, I would encourage you to do so. I'd love to talk to you about that after the service. That'd be great. Secondly, are there sins I need to confess to God? Just things that I've done, things that I've thought, and they're just in the way in the relationship. Take the time to confess those things to God in your heart. And then thirdly, are there people with whom I need to be reconciled? Is there someone that I need to go to and either ask for forgiveness or forgive them and take the time to do that? Let's just take some time, and then I will pray and we will partake in communion together with the people that are in front and then have the opportunity to be prayed for in this service. So let's take that time right now.